Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And Kyle.
And it's Monday Hollow Cult. You know what that means. You've chosen us to hang out with you to get you through the work week. And that we are going to do. Thanks for choosing us. If you're new here, me and Kyle like to talk for a little bit. So if you want to get to the crux of the show, you're going to want to fast forward to about 6 minutes. And that's usually when we get into it. If you want to listen to us talk, feel free to hang out. If you're not new here, welcome back, weirdos. You know the drill. So check us out all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Discord, Reddit. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and you'll find us there. Come hang out, be part of the community, join the cult. You know the drill. It's a fun thing to do. Kyle's got some weirdness he's going to bring to us today. But if you have some weirdness you'd like to share with the show for us to feature on a future episode of our listener experience show, Kyle's got the info you're going to want.
I do. It's simple. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com. Write your story out. Send it over there. Heck, we're at a point now where some of your stories are entirely too long, and you guys are kind of in the camp where me and Steve would be. You're, I dare say, respectfully though, lazy and don't want to write that story out. So what you're doing is you're asking us for interviews, and now we're entertaining the interviews and actually going to start venturing down that road. So that is also on the table. If not, though, like I said, write it out. Send it to Steve. We're going to put it in his filing system, which is chef's kiss. That's Steve's filing system. And then we'll get it out there when we get it out there. Because sometimes we get too tired. But hey, one day, no matter what, one day you'll be famous.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everything Kyle said is true.
Yeah. I don't lie.
He doesn't. Mm-mm. If you heard all that and would love to support the show as a whole, there's plenty of ways you can do it. We have a Patreon for $7 a month. You can get some extra Patreon exclusive episodes, all kinds of stuff over there. Taylor Swift Hell is an elder god. She might be a witch. I don't know.
Probably.
I can't confirm or deny. It's fine. All kinds of good stuff. What else you got over there? You get all of our regular shows early. You get them ad free. We got some tasty casket breath jams over there you can listen to. We also, you're first to know about merch drops. Sometimes we put merch coupons over there and stuff. Whole thing. Speaking of merch, HollowSkyPodcast.com. Got a merch tab. We got some shirts, hats, beanies, stickers. Almost out of the hats. Hats are, they're not a whole lot left.
No, that was like two camo hats left.
So you better get it if you're getting it. Also, share the show word of mouth. Best thing you can do. Share the episode, share the show. It's free. It's easy. Takes no time at all. Go to the YouTube, subscribe, get that going. Hype the videos. You know the drill. You know how it works. The next best thing you can do is go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. And when I find them, I'll gladly shout you out. This week's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Frugal Heifer.
Fucking love that name.
That's the best part.
That's a good one.
Frugal Heifer says, worth the recommendation. 5 stars. I finished the 600 episodes of my normal weekly podcast, and Apple Podcasts suggested as a new podcast that I might be interested in. I started listening with the Spirit Board episodes, and I was hooked. I referred 5 more friends so we can discuss the weird. You're now my new go-to while working. Thanks for this.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. Well, Frugal Heifer, you're now our new go-to for reviewing the show. Because hell yeah.
I love that.
I was,
you know what? I love that for you.
Yeah. We know what it's like to get to the end of your favorite podcast and you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, what do I do now? What's going to fill this void? And why we might not fill the whole void. We'll fill a little bit of it. And we got a lot of shows, a lot of back shows. Start off a little rough. If you start at the beginning, start off a little rough. But we're dialed in now. Kind of. It's fine.
I mean, yeah, we're dialed in.
This is as good as it gets.
You know what's crazy, though?
No.
I'll tell you what's crazy. How awkward I still am whenever I meet people that listen to the show randomly. Because I got stopped in a old Walmart the other night.
Because you're famous.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I met, I think you know him, a PJ. Right, PJ Scoggins, right?
That sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, Necrotic Records dude.
Yeah.
I met him.
Nice.
Yeah. But I was getting so confused. Because I always walk around like a ghost. And then he approached me and I'm like,
You can see me?
Yeah. But great dude. We met, we talked for a little bit, and it was cool.
That's sick.
It's always cool meeting people.
I still can't listen to my own voice on the show. So
I'm used to it by now.
I'm 6.5 years, like 500 episodes in, and I can't.
I'm used to it by now.
It's fine.
Yeah. Hearing your own voice at first is not comfortable.
And at second and 6.5 years in, still not that great.
Eh, you'll be all right. You get over it.
Yeah, it's fine. Frugal Heifer. Thanks for the review. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Apple. Shout out to Apple for even throwing us out there.
Word.
That's sick. And also sharing it with 5 friends. That's like a whole, you're a whole sect of the Holo Cult now.
True story.
Hell yeah.
I hope you're comfortable being a part of a cult.
Yeah, you chose us. That's on you.
Mm. It was kind of like Destiny though, because it, you know, showed up in their feed. And
you can blame Apple.
Or think.
Yeah, thank, blame, same thing.
It is kind of the same thing.
What else we got? Yeah, thanks, Frugal Heifer. Okay.
You talk good.
Yeah, still learning. So this is us dialed in. Anyway, thanks for the kind words and the review and the rating. Love it. Love it. The other thing you can do to support the show is support our kind sponsors, which you will be hearing from now. According to the National Institutes of Health, as many as 30 million men in the United States experience ED. It's more common than a bad night's sleep. The good news is Hims makes getting access to treatment simple, so you can feel like yourself again without the stress or awkwardness. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that puts your goals first. To get simple online access to personalized, affordable care for ED, hair loss, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/hollow1. That's hims.com/hollow1 for your free online visit. hims.com/hollow1. Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescriptions required. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey, Holocult. We're back and excited to announce our continued partnership with ZocDoc. When it comes to your health, please, please leave it to a professional. I don't know about you guys, but my entire social feed has just been filled with different health trends, like red light therapy can solve every skin problem, and you should be slamming olive oil shots first thing in the morning, or coconut oil this, elderberry that. Well, ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and click to instantly book an appointment. With ZocDoc, you can book in-network appointments with more than 100,000 doctors across every specialty, from mental health to dental health, primary care to urgent care, and more. You can filter doctors who take your insurance, who are located close by, who are a good fit for any medical need you may have, and are highly rated by verified patients. I haven't had to book a doctor's appointment, thankfully. I've been pretty healthy, but I have gotten on the app and kind of messed around with it a little bit, kind of booked mock appointments, and it is super easy. It's a one-stop shop for everything that you need. Find doctors in your area, doctors that take your insurance, doctors that can get you in within 48 hours. It's excellent. Excellent. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/hollow1 to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/HOLO1. ZocDoc.com/hollow1. And just like that, we're back. Just like that. Kyle's got some weirdness he's going to bring us. I don't know what it is.
It's good.
It's good, though.
It's good. Yeah, I'm hungry right now, though. Kyle's starving. I wish I had some food. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
My belly's grumbling.
I got some Halloween candy in there on the...
I thought you were going to say hot wings. I was about to be excited as a motherfucker.
If I had hot wings, there wouldn't be any left.
I know. That needs to be... Like, we need to start making that a thing. Or when I come over and record, I bring out a bunch of fucking hot wings. Then we just eat hot wings while we're recording.
Wing Wednesday on Saturday.
You know what? That's actually a pretty good idea.
We're on to something now.
Eat some wings while we're recording.
Yeah, we could review them.
It's a fucking solid idea.
See, we're full of ideas.
I like that. I like that. Anyways, moving on. Because people don't like the Hollow Cooking Show as much as they liked the Hollow Sky Podcast.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I didn't really have a topic in mind. So, this is kind of a scattershot episode. But I was trying to find some more bizarre-y, humorous paranormal encounters. I know they're out there. The hard thing is to... define humor, because Steve and I's humor is wildly different than the internet's AI generated definition of humor.
Yeah,
but I was able to find some pretty fucking weird ones. With that being said, this first case takes place in Venezuela in 1954. So it's a minute. It's been a minute.
There's probably some funny dudes in 1954 Venezuela.
Well, check this out. I think you're going to like this. I think the listeners are going to like this. This is a series of encounters. It spans over several months from April through December, right? A paranormal gang decides to create some chaos, even attacking people.
I already got questions. I don't know if I should interrupt this.
Let's
story.
Go. Give me your questions. Let's hear it.
Is it a gang of paranormal investigators?
No.
Is it a gang of ghosts?
No.
Is it a gang of aliens?
Kind of.
Ultra terrestrial gang members.
I wouldn't go ultra.
Hmm.
All whatever, right. Like the severe opposite of ultra is. That's what these things are.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so here we go. Emilio Martinez, he was a hunter. He finds himself on the other side of the aisle on this particular hunting vacation. So he's walking back to his car at the end of a day, you know, carrying his score. And as he's walking, he hears some rustling. In the bushes behind him. So he's like, what, you know, what is that? And then he hears a long guttural growl. So now you're like, all right, whatever's in there is probably not cool. I need to be on my toes. Well, it ends up scaring the shit out of him because he drops his catch and he just beelines for the car.
Oh yeah. I forget we're in Venezuela.
Venezuela.
So you got like jaguars and shit there.
Exactly. So the creatures jump out of the bushes and they begin to give chase. Emilio makes it to his car, and like in any dumb horror movie, what's he start doing? He starts fumbling with his fucking keys, trying to figure out which key opens the door. When all of a sudden, he gets fucking jumped by these little half men, half monkey dwarves. And the beast grabs him, throws him to the ground. They roll into the ditch. The two actually start to fight.
Nice.
The creature begins to bite and scratch Emilio. However, Emilio, he ain't going out like that. He picks up a rock and starts bashing this thing's head.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Just starts hammering it. So it loosens his grip. Enough to where Emilio is able to get free from it and get into his car. Both of the little shits jump onto his car and start beating on the window. Well, he just, he's like, whatever, I got it now. So he just starts the car, floors it, they fly off the car, and he takes off.
It's hoping they turn on his windshield wipers like on Ernest Scared Stupid. And just
So with these series of encounters, it kind of gets lost in translation, but essentially they're little hairy dwarves that are attacking people in these span of months here. And there's probably, I don't remember, there's like 4 or 5 cases.
So it wasn't a one-off thing.
Mm-mm. No, there was a few people that were attacked by a gang of hairy extraterrestrial dwarves.
There's a lot of dwarf activity in the paranormal, right?
Yeah.
Like the Dwinde.
But I don't think that it's ever heavily associated with gang UFOs warfare. And oh. gang warfare.
Oh, it's associated with UFOs.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll stand corrected.
So here we go.
Let's rip it.
Like I said, Amelia wasn't the only one to get jumped by this little gang of dwarves. Truck driver Gustavo Gonzalez and his assistant, Jose. I don't know how to say your last name. Sorry, bro.
Nailed it.
But they were traveling when they come up to a roadblock. This wasn't an ordinary roadblock, though. A 9-foot-wide spherical craft hovering 6 feet off the ground was in the middle of the road. Gonzalez, for whatever reason, decides, hey, I'm going to get out of my truck. I'm going to check this shit out. He's probably mad because he's running behind. You know how truck drivers get when they're running behind.
Oh, yeah.
They're impatient as fuck. No disrespect.
They got places to be.
You guys are impatient.
Loads to drop.
I get it. You definitely got loads to drop out there. I get it. But Gonzalez gets out, and he's probably thinking, "What? Well, you know, I'm going to move this thing out of the way or check it out, whatever." But no. He's instantly confronted by a 3-foot-tall hairy dwarf. This thing has glowing red eyes, and on top of that, he's sporting a sick-ass loincloth.
So it's like a tiny...
Get that visual.
Tiny caveman.
Yeah, essentially.
UFO flying tiny caveman.
Yeah. And I mean, hats off to Gonzalez here because he wasn't having any part of it.
Immediately confronted by a 3-foot-tall hairy dwarf in a loincloth.
Yeah. So this dude, he must have been on that special truck driver dust because he goes for it. I mean, I picture him and this thing staring at each other and he's like, whatever, dude, fuck you. He goes to grab this little thing, and as he goes to grab it, the little hairy dwarf dude simply pushes Gonzalez. Well, that poor dude flies back 15 feet.
Oh, brute strength.
Brute strength. So the dwarf, in a fit of rage, leaps after Gonzalez, who then takes a page out of the women's, my wife's relatives, the women, takes out a page from them because Gonzalez pulls out a fucking knife. Stabs the little dwarf dude in the shoulder. Now I know what you're thinking, because I was thinking the same thing. Hell yes, he's getting his in. Mr. Gonzalez is getting it. Well, no, because the knife deflects off like he fucking stabbed Superman. Doesn't do anything. Then shit really hits the fan because his partner, Jose, jumps out of the truck and you're thinking, all right, Jose's going to get some.
2-on-1 now.
Right?
2-on-1 now.
Fuck no. You know, Jose's like, oh shit, my boy's down. You know, I see, not only do I see this little hairy dwarf in the loincloth attacking Gonzalez, my buddy here. Now I see two more rolling up.
3-on-2.
With fucking armfuls of rocks.
The tables have turned.
now they have projectiles.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
No.
They're impenetrable. You can't stab them.
No. But like I said,
now they got ammunition.
You would think Jose is going to, he's like, all right, I got to get my boys back now.
No, he skedaddles.
Fucking dude, straight up. Jose takes off.
Not today, Gustav. I'm out.
And you know what's crazy? That's why I dubbed this as like a paranormal gang. Because even though Jose was straight pussy and takes off running, he's taking off running. Where's he going? Where's he going, Steve? Where do you think he's going?
To get in the UFO and steal it.
No, that would have been way cooler. Instead,
that's what I would have done.
Instead, he's heading to the nearest police station. He's going to go narc, right? Gonzalez ends up getting an alien pepper spray by a dwarf standing inside the craft who fires this dazzling beam of light, which blinds him.
Oh, shit.
Then the little dwarf gangbangers jump in the craft and skirt off.
So that makes that was 4-on-2.
4-on-2. Well, 4-on-1, technically, because Jose bounced. Yeah. And that's what I found so crazy. Jose takes off with the intention of getting the cops. And these little fuckers are like, well, we're done. They get back in their UFO and skirt off.
They blind him first.
They do blind him. They hit him with some type of alien pepper spray.
Face full of glitter. And then they just... I love these one-off bonkers ass
awesome
encounters.
And it's so crazy because it happened over several months, you know, from April to December. And it wasn't an isolated event. It happened to a bunch of different people.
The fact that people are describing the same entities means like something was going on.
Something absolutely
going on. And the fact that like,
and these little things were violent
and unstabbable.
And that does suck.
Yeah. Your weapons are useless against them.
Like little hairy Superman.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's weird.
It sucks.
I love that they came out of a UFO. Venezuela's wild.
And it's not the only one. This next one here, December 10th. Two more hunters, Lorenzo and Jesus.
Why are they just going after like the normal, like regular blue collar dudes?
I don't know. There must be some type hunters, of grudge there.
Truck drivers. Like, I feel like there is a targeted demographic here.
You got a point there. I didn't see that when I was writing it, but you do have a point.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is a little weird. But anyways, these two find a 3-foot wide craft, and they described it as two washbowls put together. This thing was obviously modded, though, because as it's just floating there off the ground, it's also emitting flames from its underside.
Oh, sick.
So it's got them flame tailpipes.
Sick. I was hoping it had flame decals on the side.
Man, my throat's dry. Flores said that he sees, which this could be the same group, he sees four little men come out of the craft. And when the little men notice Flores and Gomez, they decided to try and kidnap Gomez. They grab him and start dragging him to the ship.
They're a bunch of little assholes.
Dude, they're not nice.
Violent, just abducting people.
It's terrible.
Fighting, like they immediately choose violence.
Yeah, well, at least on this side, Flores wasn't a bitch. He decides to be a real one. It could have been way cooler, but I still give him credit. Flores grabs his shotgun. However, Flores knows that it's unloaded. Because he was a responsible hunter, right? He took all the ammo out.
He's going to try to bluff his way out of it.
Oh, no. No. Next best thing, Flores turns it into a club.
Yeah.
However, as he attempts to take shotgun club to ass, he swings, he hits, the shotgun breaks in half.
Oh, they are some sturdy little bastards, aren't they? Can't stab them, can't swing on them.
No,
You need one of them glitter guns. Blind them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Blind them and run. See how that goes.
So I'm assuming after later on, the Flores and Gomez, yeah, they get asked to describe these little men. And they said, you know, they were like, it's dark. Or it was dark out, but they noticed how these little men were very hairy and they obviously had great strength.
Yeah, obviously.
Somehow in this scuffle, the men managed to escape and make it to a police station. Both of the men were badly bruised and scratched up.
So something did fight them.
100%. 100%. They definitely fist fought alien hairy dwarves.
Okay, in my brain how this plays out is these alien creatures had come to the planet like 15,000 years ago.
Okay.
And they interacted with and saw all these cavemen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, man, these cavemen are just killing and eating everything. We need to get the hell out of here. So they go about their business and they come back now in the 1950s. And they're like, okay, we're going to try to blend in with the creatures here. So let's take the form of cavemen. And they get here and that's 15,000 years too late.
Yeah. You might be onto something with that.
Yeah.
Because if not,
if you
cavemen just, on another planet figured out how to drive UFOs.
Yeah. If you're traveling light years to get here, you're wearing more than a loincloth. You know?
One would think.
You're coming through atmospheres and
you got
like,
a point. I mean, it is a good point.
You gotta be more than loincloth. I feel like they chose a disguise and it was not the right timeline. Like they probably dialed in like 12,000 BC and they ended up in 1950 Venezuela.
Yeah, they fucked up.
Yeah.
They fucked up.
Love it.
Now, 3 days after the attack on Gomez and Flores, another man named Jesus gets attacked by a hairy dwarf.
What did he do for a living?
I don't know.
Probably blue collar.
Probably.
Yeah.
Well, he was definitely blue collar because Jesus was being driven home by some of his buddies. I'm assuming that they'd all been out drinking because he's like, hey, dude, can you pull over? I need to take a piss.
Yeah.
So they were probably doing some drinking, having a good time, which, you know, suggests blue collar business. As he's doing this, his friends hear him start to scream in pain.
Never a good sign when
no
bro goes out to take a piss and ends up screaming in pain.
Yeah, they all run over and they find him lying unconscious, covered in scratches and bleeding everywhere. God and damn. Then a short, hairy entity rushes past them, leaping into a flat, shiny disc hovering nearby. The disc emitted a whistling sound, then shot off. Dude, Paz's injuries, Jesus's injuries were so bad, he had to be taken to a fucking hospital.
God damn.
So that fucked him up. And that's kind of a cheap shot, too. Homie's out there trying to relieve himself.
Yeah, you're vulnerable.
And then
you got peace in hand.
Yeah. Little dude fucks him up.
Every time you say short, hairy, dwarf, alien, it makes me laugh.
Fucking awesome, ain't it? So, this last one here, I believe this is the last one. Yeah, it is.
Can't even take a piss in Venezuela without getting jumped.
It's crazy, dude.
Unacceptable.
Jose Parra was out jogging when he saw a bunch of dwarves. Bro, this is nuts. He sees a bunch of fucking hairy dwarves loading. Take a guess at what they're loading. Just take a crack.
Like into their UFO?
Into their hovering disc shaped craft. If you had to guess, what would they be loading? It's so like you,
I have no idea at this point.
Fucking boulders.
Yeah, it's ammo.
Well, not like that, but it does feed your narrative of them being cavemen.
Yeah. They did use rocks.
And they're stealing boulders from Earth.
Time travelers that aren't good. They're the worst time travelers in the world
ever.
Which also kind of leads to it, because if you're going to think of a dumb time traveler, it's probably going to be a caveman.
True.
You know?
True.
I love it.
So
I love it.
For whatever reason, this absolutely terrifies Jose.
Yeah, that'd fuck me up too if I saw a bunch of hairy 3-foot dwarf aliens just
stealing rocks,
throwing rocks into their UFO.
Just fucking stealing rocks.
I'd just turn around and leave. I'd be like, yeah, I don't want any part of what's going on here.
Well,
I didn't see shit, boys. I'm out.
Jose tries to run off.
Fair enough.
But one of these things paralyzes him, firing a violet beam of light at him from a bizarre handheld device. Luckily,
I got switches now.
Facts. Luckily for Jose, these hairy little shits didn't want anything to do with him. Because after they paralyze him, they just jump in the craft and take off.
Did they leave the rest of the boulders?
That's a good question. Well, it was so convincing that Jose obviously goes to the police. The police actually come out and investigate it. And they didn't find a whole lot, but they did find bizarre little footprints that they said were neither animal or human.
Were they caveman? Alien.
What's
caveman.
A caveman footprint look like?
I don't know. I never met one.
Same.
I mean, I never met an alien caveman either.
It's weird, right? It's a solid opening case.
I love it.
It's fucking solid, dude.
We just need to compile all of the most batshit insane humanoid, the humanoid encounter books had a lot of
crazy ones.
Yeah, but it's very matter of fact, which is good. Yeah. It should be right. Very factual of what the witness encountered. But I'm telling you, there was a time when Russia and Argentina and Venezuela, they had some shit popping off.
Oh yeah,
when I think of it's very close minded of me, but I'm always thinking of American cases. You know,
well, it's because it's where we're from.
Yeah. But they got some wild shit going on.
This next one, I don't think it's violent, but it takes place in Long Prairie, Minnesota. It's pretty fucking weird.
Which we like.
October 23rd, 1965, around 7:15 p.m. James Townsend, a 19-year-old radio announcer of KEYL in Long Prairie, Minnesota.
Radio Kyle, basically.
Mm-hmm. It is. It probably is.
KEYL.
Yeah, it is. Anyways, James was driving along Highway 27. Now, as he takes this corner in the road, and in the middle of the road is what he describes a tall rocket ship looking object.
Yes.
Right. So he slams on his brakes, skids to a halt, roughly 20 feet from the object. Immediately, as he gets within proximity, telltale UFO encounter, the motor, lights, radio, everything stops working in his car.
Yeah.
Instantly. Even though he said the craft in front of him was still lit up and obviously operating. So the craft in question, he describes it. He says about 30 feet high, about 10 feet in diameter. And he also noted that it looked very unstable because it was sitting on these fins. So literally like a rocket ship.
Which is interesting to me because in all of our research and our doings in ufology, how often do you hear of a UFO that looks like a rocket ship?
I think this is probably the first one.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, believe me, it gets fucking weirder.
Which leads me more to believe that maybe it's some sort of time travel thing. Maybe these are humans.
You're right.
Because we're the only species that builds rocket ships.
Yeah, well.
Like dumbasses.
I'll be curious to... You stick with that. Okay. In that road, because it's going to be cool. So I also love the way people think back then, right? because you have all the homies in Venezuela in the 50s. I mean, they're most of them ready to fight. They're ready to get down.
You got
to
be. Right? You're in Venezuela. You're fighting anacondas. You're fighting jaguars. You're fighting crocodiles. Like, you got to get ready to throw.
That's true. So now we're in the 60s. You got a little 19-year-old.
You're in Minnesota. You're fighting, like, cheese curds or something.
Check it out. James has this idea. And he's like, dude, what? I got it. I know what I need to do. The smart thing to do, and this is, you could tell as a 19-year-old kid.
God, I have a 19-year-old child. This terrifies me, and you haven't even said anything.
He's like, dude, I'm going to fucking knock this thing over so I can get some evidence.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He's going to drive into it.
I'm going to knock this over so I can get some evidence. So he tries to start his car. Well, the car's not starting, right? And so, you know, obviously, what better way to knock a rocket ship over in the middle of the street other than just run the thing over? But like I said, it's not working. Next best thing. Well, if people can tip cows, surely I can knock this thing over by hand.
Very messy.
I'm just going to go fucking push this thing over.
My guy.
So that's the plan. He gets out, heads over to the rocket ship to knock this thing over. Now, as he's moving in for the finisher, he notices something. He sees these little objects start moving out of the craft. So now the beings inside are like, well, this guy's coming out. Let's go out, you know?
We're not going to let him push our car over.
Yeah, and, you know,
a rocket car.
James noted, he did note that this thing looks unstable. So it's probably an easy tip over.
Yeah, which, I mean, that makes more sense. That makes more sense going for the tip over if it doesn't look stable.
I don't know how he equated, like,
what makes a rocket
tipping it over is what's going to give me evidence. I don't really see how that computes.
If he tips it over, it can't take off.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. Maybe he had a tow hitch. You know, maybe he had a little hitch on the back of his.
Oh God, just strap it on top of his roof.
Oh, that'd be sick.
You got a rocket car.
That's sick. That's
two
idea.
Birds.
That's a good idea.
You don't even have the car. Doesn't have to start because you got a rocket strapped to it.
That's sick. So,
gotta think. James thinking ahead. We're not giving him the credit he deserves.
You remember you said it was like time travelers or some shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here we go. These three little things, these little beings come out. He says three small cylinders moving on spindly looking legs that were no thicker than pencils come out of the craft. He said they had no distinguishing features. And they moved like creatures, not robots, even though they kind of look more like robots than creatures.
What the fuck?
And I do feel like it would be safe to assume we all would imagine them moving like robots.
Yeah. I almost said, oh, robots.
Yeah. He's essentially describing soda cans with fucking legs. Now, James and the little soda men had like a standoff situation. They kind of just stood there and was staring at each other like, what the fuck are we looking at? And James finally says, I don't think he actually says it, but he's like, you know what? I think it's in my best interest if I just leave. So he heads back to his car.
That is so weird.
And as he's heading back to his car, little soda bros do the same. They head back to their rocket ship.
Yeah.
So it was like a
mutually assured destruction.
You know what? You don't fuck with me. I'm not going to fuck with you. We're going to go our separate ways.
I want to know how they moved. In my brain, I have a picture of them just like waddling.
Yeah. I almost bet that's how they moved.
But he said they moved like a creature.
But
were they upright? Were they upright on two legs? Were they like long ways with four legs?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like upright with two legs.
See, shit like this. This one-off weird stuff is so bonkers. I don't feel like people can make it up. Like,
I agree.
Like if you were a 19-year-old kid and you were going to make up a UFO story, I would not describe the aliens that way.
As soda cans with legs.
Yeah. That would not be.
I'm with you.
The rocket ship, maybe. If I was a dumb 19-year-old kid and I was like, I saw a space rocket.
In the 60s.
And try to push it over.
Yeah, you know? I see but that.
There would be aliens in it. Because sure. Roswell's already happened. You already got the gray alien narrative is already fucking rolling.
Absolutely.
That's what would be driving if I was making it up.
Yeah, money.
Not soda can creatures.
I'm with you. I'm with you. So at this point.
So weird.
At this point, James, he's in his car looking out the front window. And the craft begins to take off. It emits a powerful beam of light and a humming sound. And as the rocket gained height, the light underneath of it just goes out. And as it got further away, James Carr comes back to life. All on its own, mind you. He didn't start it. It just started back up on its own.
That was kind of them. To leave him where he was.
Yeah. From here, James goes back to town and he narcs on the little soda bros. The cops notice how shook up he is. They decide to go out to the site of the encounter. Took a little convincing, but they also had James go out there with him because James wasn't trying to go. He was scared. He was like, fuck that. I'm not going back out there. I don't want to fuck with little soda cans.
I love how much is his song changed from I'm going to push this over to I'm not going back.
As they all arrived, they saw a rather strange orange light in the sky. And it seemed to flicker on and off. But really what really gets you is the fact that this thing is moving. It also has a tail to it, almost like you would expect a rocket to do, right?
Yeah.
As the police investigate the site, they find three strips of oil-like substance on the ground. And that's kind of like
where the fins sat, maybe.
I'm assuming so, yeah.
Because I was going to ask, like, when the rocket took off, did it take off like a rocket, like with boosters and shit? Fire?
He just said it was a light.
I feel like he would have said that there was fire.
Yeah. No, he just said there was light.
So that'd be a different kind of, that's so weird. Different kind of combustion, like, power. That's so weird.
Well, there are soda can people.
Yeah, they're can people writing in essentially what is a larger can.
That is true.
Maybe it may have been a bigger, like the craft may have been a being.
It is his own entity.
Yeah, these are just little parasites that lived inside of it.
It's fucking dope.
And it was like a symbiotic relationship where if something threatened it, the little parasites come out and are like, attack.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah.
I don't like the word parasite. That's really gross.
No, it's gross.
It is gross. I found another one. That is known as the Emelson incident. I'm not very good at reading. So I apologize.
It's fine.
Jan Wolski was a 71-year-old. I don't know where the fuck I got five at. 71-year-old Wolski was driving his wagon through the woods.
What time period is this?
I don't know. It just says wagon.
Hell yeah.
Anyways, he's driving his wagon through the woods and up ahead of him, he sees two strange figures, right? And as he's passing, these two beings, they go ahead and they're like, all right, here's our ride. So both of these strange beings jump onto the wagon. And Wolski says they started chattering in an unknown language.
Oh, that'd fuck me up.
Wolski didn't give a single fuck because he just kept driving.
Oh, if they started doing that weird chatter, I'd just be like, it's yours. You guys take it. I'm out of here.
He said they were talking in very thin voices. And as he keeps driving, he notices a quote. This had to have been a while back because he noticed, as he describes, car floating in the air up ahead. The craft was about the size of a medium bus and white. So it's like it'd be like a cigar-shaped UFO, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
A medium bus, probably what, 60 feet maybe? No, is that too long?
I don't fucking know.
I don't either. I don't know bus.
But I mean, dynamics. I just picture a cigar shape. He said it was making a weird whirling and buzzing noise. It had the classic alien ramp that goes up to the craft, you know. Wolski steps on. I guess at this point, he's essentially dropped the two weirdos off. They convince him somehow. You know, he gets on onto this ramp with the fucking weirdos. One of the weird green-skinned creatures with finned fingers and wearing tight black overalls motions for Wolski to get on the craft. He's like, come on, bro.
Let's roll. Step onto the bus.
So, as you can imagine, Wolski's like, okay, I'm down. He's like, let's fucking get it.
Hell yes.
Let's go, dude. So, yeah, he goes on the craft. These weird-ass creatures then convince Wolski to start undressing and lay down for an examination.
Oh, old dude thinking it's about to get weird in this bus.
I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. He might be.
He's like, I've been on this wagon a long time. Finally. So
after the examination, Wolski was told to get up and dress. And they even in a roundabout way ask him, you know, if he's, you know, moving, whatever the fuck that means.
You good after that, bro?
Yeah. They also don't forget their manners. They offer him a snack of like honey, but he's just like, nah, I'm not hungry. Thanks anyways, though. I appreciate you. He nods at the being, who, of course, with manners, nod back as he leaves the craft.
Give him the
on a more or less positive note.
I grossly overestimated the length of buses. Apparently, a full-size school bus is 35 to 45 feet. Mm-hmm. So a medium bus, probably 25 feet.
Not so much 60.
60-footer. I was thinking of megalodons, not buses.
Yeah, that's a honker bus.
My bad. I love that they just give each other the what's up after the creepy examination.
Yep.
I feel like old boy probably enjoyed that a lot more than the little critters. That's what I'm feeling like.
It's really fucking strange that he was that comfortable to just be like, yeah, cool.
I just feel like he was like an old dude of the woods, didn't have anybody, didn't have no family. At that point, he's like, well, whatever. What do I got to lose? You know? When am I ever going to get another chance to get naked in front of some aliens? Let's get it.
It's true. He was 71.
He's living life now. He just picked up two alien hitchhikers in his wagon, that took them on their bus, made him take all his clothes. They sound like hippies. He probably picked up a hippie commune, took him to the hippie bus and like, hey, take off all your clothes and drink this weird punch. We're going to see what goes down.
Yeah.
And after they're done, they just drop them off, you know? I love the what's up nod on the way out.
Like, yeah.
Been real. See ya. He's like, yep.
Good seeing you guys. I found this would probably be the last one. It was a UFO encounter where it shows up in this town.
Hey, Holocult. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. From sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They'll deliver them discreetly to your front doorstep. And you can get them 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code HOLO. Having trouble sleeping? They've got a gummy for that. Sleepy Time gummies knock you out in about 15 minutes. They leave you feeling refreshed, and they don't leave you with a feeling of grogginess or hangover. Having just one of those days where just everybody sucks and everything is going wrong, you just need to reset your mood and your day as a whole. They've got gummy for that too. Epic Euphoria gummies. Just reset your mood and turn your frown upside down. What makes these different is how they've paired THC with other cannabinoids, with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, Holocult listeners get 20% off their first order with code HOLO. So head to mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code HOLO at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
Trying to get my bearings with this here. It flies away, and a few minutes later returns and was witnessed as it hovered near ground by 12 lower school children playing soccer and 30 to 40 adults waiting at a nearby bus stop. That's a lot of fucking people waiting for the bus. There's a lot of
witnesses.
Damn. Well, they see a hatch open up in the bottom. A burly 3-meter-tall entity appears, filling the hatch. The entity had no neck, and its head seemed too small, so it was like fucking Kurt Angle standing in the standing in the hatch. They said, I guess its head was more like a knob than a head. It wears a silver jumpsuit and bronze boots. It allegedly had 3 luminous eyes, and the outer 2 whitish, and the middle one slightly above was red, and it was pupilless and movable, swiveling around like a radar. It also had a dish-shaped object on its chest, probably hanging out with Flavor Flav. The entity appeared to scan the terrain slowly and then close the hatch.
What?
The UFO came lower at this point, brushing against a poplar tree, which bent and stayed in that position.
Damn.
I don't know why I found that so funny. All right, so at this point, it's hovering at about a meter and a half. The object extended 4 supports and landed gently. The entity and 2 others like it emerged with a heavy gait accompanied by something resembling a robot with literally push buttons on its chest.
Yes.
One of the entities adjusted something on the robot's chest, causing it to move in a mechanical way. The whole group walked near the UFO, examining the ground and appearing to take soil samples. One entity made sounds which seemed to be orders, and from its chest came a beam of light that delineated on the ground a number of luminous rectangles about 30 centimeters by 50 centimeters, and these faded after a short while. During the incident, though, one of the boy witnesses cried out in fear, which at that point, an entity looked at him.
Dumb.
And the boy instantly froze, unable to move. The entity's eyes seemed to be emitting this weird light. All of the witnesses started shouting at this point, and somehow the UFO entities and robot vanish on the spot. Hmm. However, 5 minutes later, the UFO and entities reappear. So it's almost like they put on like a cloaking device.
Yeah, we got to finish our business.
Yeah. Now, one entity had at its side a tube that was about 50 centimeters in length, and there was a 16-year-old boy nearby. Well, the entity points the tube at the teenager. This luminous beam of light comes out, and the teenager just disappears.
Oh.
Fucking gone.
Oh.
You're gone.
Where was this?
I think it was in Russia.
I think I've heard this story or a similar story.
I think it was in Russia. I don't fucking
just
know.
Disappeared him.
Gone, son.
Is he still gone?
No.
Oh, okay.
After this, it don't matter now. The entities re-enter the UFO and then fly away. The teenager then reappears. And an additional sketch from the children shows an illuminated emblem on the side of the UFO. It would be the Cyrillic alphabet characters Z, Z-H-E. Yeah, this was definitely Russia. So I guess it happened in Varenza.
And that sounds familiar.
The residents interviewed later claiming they had observed the UFO not just during the above incident, but also many times through September 21st, 23rd, 29th, and October 12th, between 6 and 9.
I got questions. Like, where? I want to, I got questions for the kid that got disappeared. Like, where, oh, dude, where did you go?
Apparently on some of these other cases here, or these, when, whatever, these events where it came back, some of the entities were different. One was reported with a small grayish green face wearing a blue overcoat.
And it was still in the same craft?
I think so.
Oh, that's weird.
The Soviet government investigated it with private agencies.
I got to know where the kid went. Did somebody interview him? Like, he came, you were gone. I need to know, like, how long he was gone for. Did he just not experience anything? Like, that shit's bizarre. You got 50 people witnessing this kid disappear.
Yeah, and then he just magically comes the fuck back.
Yeah, did he end up right back in the same spot?
That is a good question, though. Like, where, what happened to you? You know, do you even remember being zapped away, or was, you know, what? Yeah, where the fuck did you go?
Yeah, it reminds me of Sam the Sandown Clown 2, where he zapped her into another dimension. Granted, she was still there physically. But consciously, she was somewhere else. We're here. Yeah. This is the whole thing. It's gone. Doesn't know where he's at.
That's a good question. Yeah, so it definitely happened in Russia.
It sounds like a very Russian case.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's weird.
It is crazy that many people saw it.
And then it came back with different.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess those entities could have also still been in the craft, technically.
True. They were hanging out with R2-D2.
And like, these things have been coming to Earth for a long time, and they're still taking soil samples.
You know,
the shit don't change that much. Like, I don't have very much faith in you guys if you still ain't figured out the soil yet.
Well, I mean, you gotta assume that if there is the possibility of one extraterrestrial race out there, that inevitably means there's the possibility of millions.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And you have
could all
to
be different species, technically.
You've got to assume that even though some of these, how do I want to word this? You got to assume that some of these races, that they're technologically smart, but they're also completely fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It'd be like kind of like giving you and me the keys to a UFO and being like, hey, you can drive it. You can do this shit. You know, all right, see you guys later.
We crash it.
That's right. You know, and then people would be like, if we crashed on another planet, they would be like, how the fuck
did they not know how to drive an AM UFO?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's
I get
what I'm
it.
Saying. So their people made UFOs, but the ones driving it didn't make it. They ain't that smart. They just knew how to drive. That kind of knew how to drive the thing.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Because it seems like in that case there, on the Russian case, that their cloaking device wasn't that great. Because about after 5 minutes or so.
Just came back.
It came back. Even for them. Remember? They disappeared for 5 minutes and came back.
And it makes me wonder how long the kid was gone for. Was he just cloaked? He may have thought he was still there watching the alien.
That's what I'm saying.
I
don't know. But those are the fucking weird ones that I was able to find. They're pretty strange.
I love it. I love it.
It was pretty. It was the hairy dwarves was good for me.
I feel like I need to start marking these weird ones as I come across them. That way we can just start doing these.
Yeah, a little mashup. Because you're right. There are a lot of cases like that that are just short.
And you don't have enough information to make one whole episode out
of. Yeah, but if you can compile them together and make like a little weirdo, strange one.
Because a lot of people, like, especially these shorter one-offs, a lot of people don't hear about them. They're just lost in the annals of books and shit forever. So, yeah, I dig that.
It's fucking cool.
I dig that. Yeah, let us know what you think. Put us some stuff in the comments if you like these weird one-off encounters.
I'm with you. I like the one-offs a lot.
Yeah, I feel like it's stuff like that.
I'll forever remember Flyhead Guy story that we've had.
Yeah.
I'll forever remember that one. And the other one that always will fuck me up are the giant stickmen.
Yeah.
Or just the stickmen encounters in general.
The Michelin Man.
Yeah. There's so many weird, like you said, so many weird little one-off ones that are just crazy.
And then it's almost like there's, because it's weird. Once you start looking into stuff, you'll find they're not necessarily one-offs, but they're so rare that when you find another one, like the Michelin Man, which is a bizarre creature, and then you find other people that have seen it at a different time or a different place, and you're like, what the fuck is going on with this?
Fucking weird.
So that's when the paranormal starts getting real bizarre.
But also cool.
Real cool. Like us.
It's also true.
Yeah, but, you know, let us know. Put your comments in the comment section and wherever you listen to this, wherever, you can do that. Let us know if you like it. If you want us to delve more into these weird one-off humanoid encounters with gangs of dwarf cavemen aliens. I love that the guys in the last encounter wore their Sunday's best. Gnarly silver overalls and their nice bronze boots, their bronze stompers out there. It's so weird, man.
It's strange for sure.
Especially to have like 50 plus witnesses. Fucking
yeah, sick. You don't just sweep that one. That one's not just a made up one. You don't sweep that.
Well, it's Russia. They can sweep whatever they want.
That's true.
So, yeah, that was sick. All right. That was awesome. Thanks for hanging out with us today, Holocult. We appreciate you. Hopefully this gets your Monday rocking and rolling. Again, if you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, if you've seen anything like this, holler at us. You know, send us an email. I know a lot of you already have. I'm working on it. Blah, blah, blah. But if you've seen some real weird shit, some real caveman shit, holler at us. On that note, check out our socials, interact with all of them, share them, you know the drill. Go over and hype the YouTube stuff. And until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if any weird little extraterrestrials jump on your wagon and try to lure you into their bus and have you take your clothes off, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But you may not get that chance more than once. So, just putting that out there.